Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Wavefarms WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have one and don't need it, and it's a Macintosh 2019 or newer, please email info@wgxc.org for more information. Thank you for your contribution.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by La Era Digital, a professional development company providing small businesses with training in Microsoft Office, mobile, and Google technologies and software. La Era Digital offers a range of services, including workshops, webinars, one-on-one coaching, customized training modules, language translation services, and AI training. More information can be found at laeradigital.tech.
Wavefarms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Teo Camporeal in Athens, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Para bailar la bamba, para bailar la bamba, te necesito una poca de gracia, una poca de gracia pa' mi pastilla.
And thank you for joining. I am Kimberly Wirewin, your host of Race Talks on WGXC 90.7 FM, the number one listener-supported community radio station in all of upstate New York, which is also a wavefarm.org enterprise. Woohoo! We're here every Thursday, Tuesday of the month from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., which is where we have the very necessary conversation on race and ethnicity. And as usual, people ask me, Kim, why talk about race? And I continue to ask, to answer, simply to combat racism, which is happening, people. It's happening because education is key and we're getting educated and discussion is a must. And this is where we have the discussion. It is my hope that you too will come to know there's only one race, the human one. In fact, that's the title of a children's book that I wrote just a few years ago. And I have to say, it's all sold out, the premiere edition. That's another like, woohoo, can I get some finger clapping around here? Okay, here again is where we have the very necessary conversations on race and ethnicity. And no
topic is taboo.
And no
topic is taboo.
Woohoo! I don't know if you heard that, but I heard two wonderful guests that will be on during our talk today. Their names are Aisha Saran and Reverend Tony Romanek. Woohoo! Okay, so you heard the song La Bamba play, and we wanted to play it in recognition of Hispanic Heritage Month. It starts in September on the 15th and ends 1 month later in October on the 15th. Usually, I don't know if it's usually, but last year I was so happy to attend the Hudson's Latinx Festival. And that happens in Hudson, New York, which is upstate in the Hudson Valley region. And they have this huge parade walking down Warren Street where children and people of all ages and of all ethnicities actually attend. And they walk to, they go down Warren Street, which is the main thoroughfare in Hudson, and then all the way to the waterfront park where there's face painting and music like La Bamba and more. And of course, there's great food. And this year, I didn't make it. But last year, I know that there was like no places you can see. I mean, you can sit, you can do anything. It was totally packed. So with the weather being the way it was, I expected it to be the same. Unfortunately, like I said, I couldn't go. So I just wanted to give a shout out to those people who organized that wonderful event. I think we'll be there next year, right? So I'm saying right to one of my greatest supporters here. And you, if you're listening on a monthly basis, you know him as my production assistant, Garrett Roche, who is the host of the podcast, The Roche Solid Truth, which is easy to find because you just do the www.theroshesolidtruth.com, right, Garrett? So I'm saying right because Garrett's getting ready to share with you his one important, I should say most important job, and that's getting your voices on air. So he's going to share with you more than one time, so get your pens ready, if that's what you use, to take the number down so that while our guests are preparing their last conversations, you're also being uploaded so that we can hear from you during our last break segment, which is our roundtable. So, Garrett, are you ready for those numbers?
Ready and rare and positively, Kimberly. Thank you so much. 518-622-2598 if we'd like to build this bridge of positivity here on WGXC.
Okay, and that's a little bit quick, Garrett. I just want you to slow it down a tad bit more.
Good idea, absolutely. 518-622-2598.
Okay, don't put them to sleep. Okay. So what you are going to find today is that our power is our vision, which is the show's theme. We are also going to have a few segments like the first, Latin rock. We're going to talk right acts and talk terms like Latin versus Hispanic. I'm sure many of you are thinking, what is she going to say about those two different terminologies? And of course, like I mentioned, we're going to have the wonderful conversations with our guest talkers today. But first, talk topic number one, power and vision. Who has these? How might we become powerful or visionary? Are you born with it? I like to think we're born with it, but I also like to think for those people who don't tend to experience the visionary aspect of their life, especially when they're younger, that you can grow to learn about it. And I'm thinking we can by listening to our only two guests today. Usually I'll have a special guest, but we have two powerful guest talkers with visions that other people can only hope to have. So I'd like to share with you, though, before I introduce Aisha, I'm getting her ready. when I think about being a visionary, sometimes when people talk to me, they tell me about stories from their lives. And one of the things that they share is their traditions and their historical markers of their lives, of their family lives. And that's some of the things that we talk about when we think about race and ethnicity. And when you think about the Hispanic culture, you think the term Hispanic is coming from the idea that people are speaking a language, the Spanish language. And even the Spanish language, which we gain the term from being of the country in Europe, Spain, is due to the Spanish people roaming throughout our planet to different parts of the of the world and landing in areas where they pretty much dominated. And so Spanish, though it is a language that grew, was started in Europe, propagated on different continents. One continent is North America because Mexicans speak it, and Mexican Americans are a strong part of the identity of the American persuasion. So we identify with Mexicans as being of the Hispanic culture. Also, those in South America, so a whole nother continent where the most of the continent is Spanish-speaking. But many of the people who speak Spanish in those nations, like Colombia and Uruguay and Paraguay and Argentina, there's so many, I can't name them all. And then, of course, there's the island nations where people speak Spanish. Can you share with me some of the names of those countries, Garrett? Or do I have to come up with all of them?
I'm just thinking myself here, Kimberly. You said the Aymara nations?
No, well, the Dominican Republic
Dominican Republic.
Right.
Let's see, Honduras.
Okay, good. And there's one that's really major. Puerto.
Of course. Rico.
There we go. And if I didn't mention a country that you're from, then you can call in. Ha ha ha. See how I got that startup? Because Garrett, what's the number again?
518-622-2598.
Okay, so those are people who are speaking Spanish, so we call that Hispanic speakers. Hispanics from those countries because they speak Spanish. But there are people in South America that don't speak Spanish, but they are Latin in that they come from Latin countries, and that's like the major country of Brazil.
Brazil.
Where they speak Portuguese. And of course, like English, not everyone speaks the same dialect of the language. We have our little, you know, hints and ideas and flavor of the language. Even America, right? We speak differently. If we come from Boston, we park the car and have it yard. People saying, of course, in New York, our great state here, we have northern and southern types of twangs of our own making. I know people don't think I've ever lived in Brooklyn from the way I sound, but Brooklyn has a particular twang of their voices. What about you, Garrett? Did you grow up in upstate New York?
I did initially, and then also in my latter childhood years lived throughout New England.
Oh, so you're really understanding of the New English twang, to speak.
Absolutely. Big time.
Well, sometimes it's hard for me to understand it. I remember having a person who spoke, said a sentence, and I started giggling. I was young. So I started giggling, and they looked and said, "Don't giggle. That's just how she says it." So we have to really respect how people speak different languages, and especially understand that just because you do speak a language doesn't mean that that's the only way to speak that language, right? We have to respect and do our best to communicate with people no matter how they sound or speak a language. All right, so that was that segment. And now, Aisha Saran, I will introduce you. And at the end, please share with our listeners, why you chose to, you know, visit us on Race Talks. But first, Aisha Saran is an actress, writer, model, and educator who hails from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She holds a bachelor's degree in English liberal arts and a master's degree in educational leadership from Lincoln University of Pennsylvania. Currently, she is a special education teacher working with fourth and fifth grade students, my favorite, at a Philadelphia charter school. As an author, she published her first book, The Saran Strategy, The Black Girl's Guide to Healing, Building, and Branding, where she addresses the challenges faced by Black girls and women, interwoven with personal stories and reflective questions. Her work focuses on fostering empowerment for Black women, emphasizing self-worth, power, and purpose. And there's that word power. And we can say that purpose is the vision that we have. So, Aisha, please share with our listeners more about you and your reflections on our theme of power and vision.
Well, thank you for having me. I actually met him. We were in a cohort together for business women of all colors and creeds, right? So that kind of is a good way to segue into what we're talking about. And it's funny because I have an LLC. I'm still, of course, building on it, but it's called Saran Vision. And I had that idea for a while. So I say the word vision a lot, just to be like a visionary, think outside the box. I think power is something that people often say. I think our words really matter. But unfortunately, I think sometimes what we miss is that, you know, not to sound like, you know, Spider-Man, but, you know, with great power comes responsibility. And we all have, in my opinion, a responsibility to be great and to look within ourselves to help others. So definitely power and vision, I think, always go hand in hand.
Yes, power and vision are, like I said, part of what makes us have purpose. So you mentioned how we met. Don't mention how we played. We enjoyed ourselves greatly in that cohort. But you mentioned having an LLC.
Yes.
Many people who start businesses, they have to have a vision, right? Finding that they can do something that other people may not have thought of. What focuses your attention to young girls and women, or Black young girls and women in your businesses?
Yes. Okay. So to be clear about that. So of course, like, so my book is right here. This, and it's a animated version of me, caricature, but pretty accurate, right?
Beautiful.
It actually was drawn from a real picture of me. I have this dress in real life, but they added the pearls, right? But the idea of my book, The Saran Strategy of Black Girls Guide to Healing, Building, and Branding, anyone of any race can read the book, obviously. But I think due to just how things are in society often, I think there's nothing wrong with highlighting or celebrating different ethnicities. I think to kind of go to your point, Kim, about the idea of, you know, we're all the human race and we are. But I think part of that beauty is that we can still be unified within our differences. And I think due to a lot of things that happen in society that unfortunately come from racism, a lot of Black girls and Black women do have like a poor self-image, and that affects how many times the way the world perceives us to be. So I wanted to have a platform that I'm able to speak freely as myself, as a Black woman who wants a little Black girl, and talk about things that I've dealt with, and not to chastise anyone or anything like that, but also, like, I think there's a thin line between not judging, but also not having standards. And I'm very much about having standards and how you present yourself. And when you know you're worth something, you want to present yourself in the best way. And I think we're also able to avoid certain things when we know who we are and we're secure in that. So it's kind of like a love letter to young women, older women. I have women much older than me appreciate this book and get something from it and read it multiple times. But it's also a book I wrote that I wish I read when I was like 17 or 18. I wish someone gave me this. I could have avoided some things, you know. So it's all...
I think she's looking at my voice, my face. She's like, yeah, I know. I know you know. I know. Okay. Well, you mentioned that you would have liked for your words to have been present when you were younger so that you could have helped your younger self. And that's a great segue into my next segment, WOW, which is Words of Wisdom. Can you find in that space in your book some of those words that might be influential to helping someone right now? And if you need a few minutes, we can do another call-in number segment. All right? Garrett?
Please, all listeners with anything on your minds, locally, nationally, internationally, listen to this program. Call 518-622-2598.
Okay.
Well, I do have a little excerpt. Should I wait?
No, we're ready. We're waiting for you. Okay.
This is in the very beginning, because one thing about me and one of my, I was like, I had certain friends that wanted me to read directly, like with them. They were laughing because they said, this definitely is your voice, right? Of how I put things together, I give it right to the point. So my introduction And once again, this is my book, so it's very much used. I refer to it as well, right? This is what I said. I won't read the whole thing, but a portion of it. So it starts off this way. It says, I've often talked for hours with friends about life, relationships, and reaching personal goals. Often enough, they would ask for my advice because they trusted my judgment. My delivery wasn't always warm and fuzzy, but my friends knew that my direct responses came from a place of love. Personally, my no-nonsense personality came as a result of me getting hurt a lot in life. I had to learn over time that sometimes what I needed to hear wasn't always what I wanted to hear. Once I accepted the truth for what it was, everything else became easier for me to understand and handle. I wanted to pass along what I've learned and help anyone who needs it. As a Black woman, I've always believed in myself, despite others not always believing in me. In many situations, I had to tell myself positive things about myself since I didn't receive it from others. I had to learn that I was worthy as I was, and that my duty was to always remember my worthiness. So I'll just leave it there.
Well, okay. I like that you mentioned what you said in the end about your worthiness, because the lack of having someone sometimes share how special you are could bring you to that understanding that you're not worthy. In fact, I don't want to make it all about me, and we don't have time for that anyway. But I will say recently, like yesterday, last night, someone told me I wasn't pretty enough to be in front of the camera. You know, I need to be behind the scenes. And
what?
Yeah. And it was a friend that was helping me out. But again, my power is because I've had really great role models who really were very supportive and stressed that I could do anything I wanted. Much of what you say about, you know, what you just said, that I can overcome those slights. And I don't believe that person really thought they slighted me. They were helping me out. They were giving me good advice because I'm older now. I'm not as young. So that's another thing when you talk about women and aging, right? I think, though, if you saw the Emmys, you saw a lot of older women winning awards in the Emmys. So I think age is all about a number. And we're at a precipice in our lifetimes when I think age is not just relative, but it's improvement on ourselves. Like you said, you grew from being that young person, because now you're telling that young person all the good things that you didn't hear maybe when you were younger. So I appreciate you coming on, Aisha Saran, and sharing us with the Saran vision. And I'm going to ask if you could stay later for the roundtable after we bring up our next speaker. Can you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome.
Yes.
Well, our next, I should say, guest talker. His name is Reverend Tony A. I'm going to say that one more time because he told me I can call him Tony, but I'm going to give him the actual terminology for what he wrote here. Reverend Tony A. Romanek Jr. Romanek Jr.?
And yes, ma'am. That's it.
Thank you. I love the way he spells his name. To me, it's very French, but it's Romanek Jr. He is a recognized leader in economic empowerment, another type of power that we need to know about, and commercial real estate. Based in Mississippi, Reverend Romanek has been nationally acknowledged for his coordination of a seven-figure commercial real estate deal aimed at minority economic uplift, placing him and his family in the top 3% of all Black entrepreneurs in the state. Woo-hoo-hoo! He has served as the Economic Uplift Director for the National Bar Association and has been featured in various media outlets, including one of my favorites, Good Morning America and Black Enterprise Magazine. Reverend Romanek is married to Elizabeth Romanek, and together they have three sons, Tony 3, Jarius, and Julius. So I'd like for you to also share with my listeners what makes you feel very comfortable being here on Race and Ethnicity, and to share the vision and power that you have come to know.
Well, first, thank you for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity. I don't take it lightly. Vision and power, I looked up the definition, right? Power means the ability to do something, right? To have influence or control over, but more so the ability to do something. Vision is to think about the future or have a plan for the future in an imaginative way, to imagine the future. So if I'm going to imagine the future in a way, I'm going to have the power or ability to make that manifest. And so with my organization, Linked Up Empowerment Center, our goal is to close the wealth gap by providing financial literacy, affordable homes, affordable and desirable office and retail space, and access to mainstream banking to those who have been locked out due to race, gender, non-English proficiency speaking, and those who are living in rural areas. And so our goal is to close that, is to close that wealth gap, to empower them to have the power to reimagine their futures and have a different outcome for their family, to build wealth.
That's awesome. As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking I could use some of that. And so I'm thinking we can use some of that in New York State. So where you're working is primarily in the state of Mississippi?
Yes.
Okay.
And Hattiesburg.
Hattiesburg. And how did you come to have that particular vision?
Well, I'm the oldest of 18 kids. And so, you know, we grew up and did not have the best of things. And it was my mother, a single woman. So first of all, my mother had, hold on just a second.
I'm hearing some woof woof in the background. So even his dog wants to get online. So Garrett, we have a moment to give people that phone number one more time.
It looks like even Race Talks is dog approved. It's 518. 622-2598.
All right. And I wanted to mention something. He mentioned the exact definition of those two words, which I left for him to do. See, we work very good together, very well connected. And so now that he's back, I can let him start from where he left off.
Look, that's my in-house American Akita. Big dog, and anybody who gets even close to the front door delivering mail or anything, she lets us know they're out there.
Okay, I just thought she was a fan.
She don't know I'm on a call right now.
I made that up. Okay, you just took me off of there. All right, you were saying?
So I grew up in a house, I'm the oldest of 18 kids. I grew up in a house with 11 of those 18, raised by a single mother. And my mother, despite of us having, economic challenges, she always was an empowering person. She always looked at the bright side of things. And so coming out of that, when it was time for me to do things on my own, I had no clue about, finance. Because of the circumstance we grew up in, my credit was used to to get bills and stuff in the name, right? And so fast forward, I wanted to make a way for other people who experienced those kind of circumstances to have a bridge out of poverty, so to speak. And I wanted to lead with education and help those coming behind me not have to go through some of the barriers that I faced financially.
And I think it's such a great thing that you said that it's an education, because when you think of being educated, you think public schools, right? That's where you get free education. And that's when you're at your start in your existence of how you feel about other people, how you feel about yourself, what you learn. And when we don't know the basics of financial literacy, that can totally hurt us. In fact, it hurts us generationally, because our parents are the ones that actually, like you mentioned, I'm surprised you actually mentioned that on air, and I want to give you a whoop whoops for that, because because that's real, right? You know, we have people who take our Social Security number. We're not going to use it for a while and, you know, get loans or whatever out in our name. And then as you're coming up, you're already behind. And They may not even think they're really doing anything wrong. You don't need it. It's not going to be anything bad for you. So having that empowerment piece when you're or knowledge about that as an important item that helps lift generations is important. And you were going to say?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. The knowledge that we gain through having that financial education, you know, it lifts us out of dire conditions. And so we teach five things in with Linked Up Empowerment, right? I call it the 5G wealth code, right? If you're going to be in the wealth game, that's 5 G's that you have to do.
Okay.
Number one, you have to get a budget, right? Number two, get out of debt. It's hard to build wealth when your money is allocated to vendors, right? And number three, you have to grow your credit score. The credit score is the way to leverage your assets to gain more assets. So you have to grow your credit score. And then number four, you have to generate wealth or generate income, not just make a dollar, but generate wealth, right? Getting paid is one thing, but generating wealth is a whole nother thing. So you have to generate wealth. And then number five, you have to give back. So that's get a budget, get out of debt, grow your credit score, generate wealth, and give back. And that, my friend, will put you in a wealth game to have a financial legacy to leave behind when you pass away. Because one of the things for sure is not if, is when. And so another three things I want to drop that serves as a financial foundation is number one, life insurance. You know, that's one way to leave a legacy, financial legacy, for your family. It doesn't matter if you worked and made an hourly wage your whole life. But if you invest $100 a month, when you leave here, you can leave six figures to your family. The next generation don't have to go through that. And also, I would say home ownership, right? As African Americans, we're the only ones who've seen a decrease in home ownership. Home ownership is one of the first pillars to building wealth. Without, you know, the average Caucasian family is worth about $171,000. The average, you know, black person is worth about $35. And you know why? Because of lack of ownership. If you don't own, you can't build wealth. So home ownership, life insurance, and small business. You know, if you can, you know, if you work a regular job, you work that job from 9 to 5. When you get off, your small business is from 5 to 9. Right? Those are the three things that have put you in position to begin building wealth, to have a financial legacy to lead to the next generation that's going to come behind you.
Well, I'm going to make a statement and then I have a question.
Okay.
Because as you were speaking, I saw some visions. And one of them is a lot of songs we sing are talking about power and money, right?
Yes.
And many people think the more money you have, the more power you have. But what I'm thinking, from what you're saying, it's not money that brings you power. It's wealth. And
it's
wealth and money is not the same animal. Am I correct in that?
Not the same.
All right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So explain the difference between that in some real words.
Money, you make it when you go do the work, right? Wealth is something that you make when you sleep. Your assets make the money for you. So, for example, if you have a rental property, that rental property is going to bring you a check every month, whether you sleep to 5 o'clock in the afternoon or get up at 5 in the morning. That check coming to your house every month, right? If you have a business, that you have a team that runs it, you don't have to show up for that business to produce. That's wealth. Money is when you have to go and do the work yourself. That's called earned income. Wealth is passive income. Earned income versus passive income.
And wealth is taxed less or not at all than earned income, correct? So there's so many ways of compounding interest when you're doing it in the wealthier way. Let me also share, since this is a theme, power and wealth, and you so rightly defined those two words, I want to say the vision, I should say power and vision. Vision is more along the lines of being wealthy. When you see a painting that you liked and you support a painter, that is a visionary move, because this person may in fact be someone who gets acclaimed later, and now that painting that you bought is worth some more money, has come of some value. And if you just bought a car with that money, and in several years that car depreciates, so now you need another car. You never need another painting. You could buy another one, but you never really need another one, and that painting can be worth more than that vehicle that now you've given back or, you know, broke down or whatever. So in real terms, thinking of empowerment in your business linked, I want to say LinkedIn because I think it's kind of linked the same up. LinkedIn, but linked up empowerment. I want to find out one last question to you before we get possible callers in, if they feel like they want to be empowered and share their vision, right? How did you come up with that word, linked up? And what does it mean for you?
It means like you have two people on the opposite sides. And as long as they're apart, they can do something. But if you link them up together, they can do something great. And so on one side of the spectrum, you may have somebody who has a need. On the other side of the spectrum, you have somebody who has the answer. So we link them up. So and just give you an example. I have business owners call me every other day. And they're trying to lower taxes. They're trying to start a business. They're trying to expand the business. But when they call me, I have a network of CPAs that I work with, bankers that I work with, other advisors that I work with, and I link them up. I have people who call me who may need affordable homes. They want to rent a home, right? We have homes that we own. Our company owns that we would rent to them. And if we don't have any, we link them up with people who may have some. Have people who call me who need office space, who need retail space. And I link them to the spaces that they need. And so that's how it works in a real way. And that's how we come with the name Linked Up.
Well, we're going to have to talk about something like this later, because my company, Intercultural Connect, does the same thing. We connect people in many ways that you do. And maybe we need to link up Mississippi and New York in some way of value.
Well, let's do it.
Because I have a vision, and it's powerful.
Okay.
All right. We're going to try to get our other guest back. She took a little trip into her book lane. I don't know. She hears me. Okay. Okay, well, I was going to give you a minute anyway, because I want to mention the reason why, another reason why we chose La Bamba. I mentioned that we were going to say, DYK, which means, do you know? What do you know about the singer who sang La Bamba? This is a question for either guest.
I just know that Lou Diamond Phillips portrayed him, but that's me as an actress.
Yes.
I believe Lou Diamond Phillips portrayed him in a movie.
Good answer. That's true. And that's relevant. Okay. So, yes. Any statements coming from you?
I was gonna allude to the movie too, but I didn't know Lou Diamond Phillips was portraying somebody. I thought that was the guy. So
well, yes, the representation was so great, but there are different years. So I'm gonna share a little bit more about Richie Valens. Because he's a first, actually. And on this show, I like to talk sometimes about firsts in many different cultural aspects. Richie Valens was known, well, he's known as Richie Valens. His real name is Richard Steven Valenzuela, better known by his stage name, Richie Valens, who was an American guitarist, singer, and songwriter. He was a rock and roll pioneer and a forefather of the Chicano rock movement. So Chicano is another terminology for people of Mexican heritage. Valens died in a plane crash just 18 months after his breakthrough. And what makes this so remarkable is how old do you think he was when he sang the song La Bamba?
18.
Was.
Okay, 18.
Did you guess?
He said 18.
18?
Yeah.
22?
Ding, ding, ding. He's closer with 18. He was 17 years of age.
Oh, wow.
Right. I mean, he wasn't back then. He was born on May 13th, 1941. So back then, there was no, you know, I mean, I think, well, no, 18 was, I think, still the legal age to drink. I think I do everything by how old was I, you know, when I was able to drink. No, 21 is, you know, in the 1980s, I think, changed outwards. But he was that young. I think you could go to war at 17. You can get married at 17.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But still.
My great-grandparents, both sides, were married at 17. Yeah.
Wow. So when you think, though, of power and vision, he's a forefather. That's like when we talk about our forefathers of our Constitution, right? A lot of that is being talked about now. 17. Leaving such a remarkable song, La Bamba, that, you know, we know now. I mean, to me, it's like relevant now, this is a song. I don't know. But he was actually born in Pacoima, Los Angeles, California. And so when we talk about heritage, being Chicano, we talk about, you know, he's come from that tradition. And yeah, he died at the age of 17 in 1959.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he died at 17?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was amazing.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that he died the same year. I'm thinking he had lived a few years after that.
No, he was on the plane. There was a movie or a song, The Day the Music Died. That was the song that was made because he and along with two other musicians, he was one of the more famous icon, more iconic. Buddy Holly, yeah, and... DJ, and I can't recall the DJ's name. I don't know. We're not near a computer right now. I mean, you're not. I guess I could look it up. But yeah, and that's what makes him so remarkable. But so we're, you know, acknowledging Latin Heritage Month in the United States. And I think that's, he represents both, did you know? Because, like, you guys didn't know that, right? And,
I didn't. Makes you want to look at the movie.
Right. And the first. Yeah. I mean, he was the first, like, rock star from this heritage group.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it's wow. Words of wisdom. All right. So, Garrett, tell everyone how to call us, and we'll go into our last segment, Roundtable.
Absolutely, Kimberly. Thank you. It is 518-622-2598.
One more time, Garrett, and slowly. This is your last time.
518-622-2598.
All right. So I have to warn everyone, you know, we're still getting used to this call-in. So if you don't call in, if you wait to call in too late, we're probably not going to be able to bring you on. So it's better to call in earlier than later.
Please, ASAP.
Okay, so what do we want to talk about around the round table today? I had scheduled a very entertaining spot, but I dare not play it because I think if we do put that on, we might not be able to hear the phone ring. Right? Garrett's like looking at me like, okay, a little sheepish. So I actually have heard that there are some signals that are going out. So some people aren't being able to hear the entirety of our conversation. I don't know if that's anything that we can do in the studio. We're in the Catskill studio, and we will look into that. So I did get a notice of that going in and out. But so listeners, please just bear with us. We'll figure it out if this pertains to you. We also want to share that you can listen to us during, what is it, Garrett, about an 1 or 2 hours after the show ends. There is a way of connecting via the internet.
Usually approximately about an hour after each show concludes, the archive is available.
Okay. And so
WGXC.org.
Okay. So I want to ask each of our guest talkers, and this is the time that I'm not just the interviewer. We can all ask each other questions because, you know, we get to know each other. So it's like sitting in my living room or something like that. By the way, guys, I got a new apartment, everyone who's interested. So, and if you guys are ever up in the New York way, you know, you have a sofa. It's my Airbnb. You can come. We're family now because we're sharing all of our young pain points and how through pain, you know, our vision comes through. If we're lucky, but I think everyone has the opportunity of sharing or coming through with a future understanding or growth mechanism so that they are able to talk to their young selves and give their young self some great, really great information. So I'd like to ask you, and again, you can ask each other questions or whatever. What would, and I think you already answered this, Aisha, but maybe you have more than one. What is one of the things that you know now that you didn't know before that could have made you a more powerful person in your youth?
I would say, well, I know it's a family show, so I'm not going to say one thing. But what?
Well, it is at 7 p.m., you know, and it's 11:30 somewhere in the world.
We'll talk about one-on-one. But I'll say this.
No topic is
off limits. That's true.
Taboo.
But I would say this. You know, no topic's taboo. That's true. But what I will say is this. Is I would say it kind of like is a culmination of everything. Is being more assertive and being okay with people not liking you. Growing up, I believe it or not, when people see me now, they're like, oh, you were like that? But like, I used to like not stand up for myself. I would literally sacrifice my own feelings and put people ahead of me. And also growing up in a church and things like that, and being a little girl as well, you're kind of raised a lot of times to be more docile or more passive. You don't want to come off aggressive. So people would just say things that hurt me and I wouldn't defend myself. You know, I would just, you know, try to be objective about it. But now the older I became, I'm like, look, like at the end of the day, like I'd much rather be respected than liked. Cause the thing is, you gotta think about it, is like, if you already hurt me anyway, you already don't respect me and clearly don't like me. So I'd rather be one. You know what I mean? Like, you're at least going to have some respect. So I've always been like, you know, I've always been assertive in terms of like how I speak and things like that. But how I am emotionally, I'm very clear. So even full circle with my book's all about being unapologetically you and having standards and not changing your standards to appease people. Like, this is who I am. And you're either going to be for that or you're not. And doesn't mean that we have to be enemies, but I'm not going to cower down to make someone else feel better. I'm just not doing that. So I have to grow into that over time.
Okay, I'm going to ask Tony to answer that too, if he can. But before that, because you showed that book one more time, and I'm very interested, I did say that my book is already sold out and maybe we'll have another one. But how do I get your book? Like me, Kimberly Irwin, tell me what to do right now to get your book.
It's just on Amazon. This type of Saran strategy. And I'll say this much, some detail. So my full name is actually Aisha Niara Saran Patterson. And so I have two middle names. And one of my friends I used to work with, she was like, there's a saying, like, only important people have two middle names, right? That kind of thing. But Saran is also my mother's middle name, so she gave me her middle name. And I don't have any children, at least not yet. I don't want children unless I'm married, once again, my own standard that I don't apologize for. And believe it or not, I've had people get mad at me because I don't want children if I'm not married. That's another radio interview. That's another topic. So I have certain standards. And even with myself, there's a lot to talk about. I'm also a child of teenage parents. So even with my origin story, nothing against my mother and father, but it's like I want different things. I also know how things were when I was a child. So it's okay to aspire for different things. And you're not putting someone down by having your own standard. I want to throw it out there. But Aisha, my name is actually spelled with an I. I spelled the Arabic way for my stage name. But Aisha literally means life, alive and well, prosperous. It comes from Arabic. Niara means one with high purpose. And Saran means joy. So, like, even within my name, it has a really important meaning, and I'm very proud of that. So I just dropped Patterson. I think Aisha Saran has a better ring than Aisha Patterson. I'm Miss Patterson when I teach. But that's just a little bit of background, I guess.
Well, my saying is love, beauty, Saran now, not just love, beauty, joy. Yay. All right. But still, so your book's name comes... I mean, your stage name. Sorry. What's the name?
So it comes from a stage name. So I wanted to like have like kind of not like a more bland name, but the names I thought that I guess were cool were Taken, right? I was thinking like, oh, the Phoenix Files, like a Phoenix rising from the ashes. That's Taken. Something else I was thinking about, they were Taken. But I said, well, what if I put my name in it? So if I'm Aisha Saran, and I said my book's kind of like a strategy, okay, the Saran strategy. That flows fairly well. And then the Black Girl's Guide to Healing, Building, and Branding just kind of came right after that. I'm pretty good with coming up with names for stuff, but for the reason. So it's very much like a guide slash love letter, but just talking about things. And once again, I'm not, this is not the gospel, right? This is just my personal experience. It's also saved me, too, because I'm like, look, this is my strategy. So I didn't say it's going to work for you, right? But it's worked for me thus far. So this is something you can maybe try, but it's all about being accountable for your actions, knowing your worth, and understanding it's not just about you saying a bunch of words. It's about your intent and about your actions behind it. So to me, it's like nobody can disrespect you without your consent. So you need to look at yourself and be like, okay, well, not to say like, okay, what am I doing? Why is this happening to me? Because some people just can be mean and nasty, but it can only continue to an extent based on what you allow to happen. So you have to be able to stand up for yourself, know what you're really about, and be okay with being alone at times. Because, like, I'd rather personally be alone than in bad company. So I think, like, people need to be comfortable with that, especially women.
Well, I love Saran's strategy, but I love it now because it really means joy strategy. Strategy yes. for joy. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in love. Okay. Your turn, Tony.
Wow, she had me captivated. well, I can say two things. One, I can say that a little bit of what she explained, I also, I guess, fought with too, to be more more secure in myself. Would have helped me. Early on, I decided not to go to college right off because I didn't want to share a dorm room with somebody. The thought of sharing a dorm room made me not apply for college.
Wow.
Because I grew up, I had all I need growing up, and that was me, my siblings. And when we hung out with our cousins. And so we never did much outside of that. Mm. And, you know, I had friends that, you know, we spent the night at each other's houses, but I was a very private person. And so the thought of sharing that space, with somebody, just turned me completely off from going to college. And similar to Aisha, I didn't learn to start taking up for myself till later on, till like I got in high school or whatever. But so I think those things would have helped me be more successful even early on.
Well,
because it took me. I'm like, I'm 47 years old. It took me every one of them years to get here. Every one of them, and I wouldn't trade nothing for the journey. Now, don't get me wrong. Even some of the tough spots, because that, you know, life was my teacher. And so I wouldn't trade anything for that journey, but I think I'd have been successful early on had I would have, you know, took a different route. And I say this too. I grew up, my mom and my dad, they were survivors, right? And so it gave me a survivor's mentality. And I wouldn't trade that for the world either. But survival mentality can only get you so far. Till you have to build on top of that and get a thriver's mentality. It's two different philosophies of thinking. Now I don't neglect or berate the survivor's mentality because it got me here. But it's the thriver's mentality that the people wrote about. Not the survivor's mentality, but the survivor's mentality kept me alive so I could thrive, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. In fact, yeah. I'm writing a lot of what you're saying down, and you know, I already read some of the Sarong vision, but so I don't have to write all those notes. But what you were saying, power, I can't read my writing. I think I wrote power. The power is in the pivot, right? It's to know that it's time to go a different route. And therein lies the vision, to know when it's time, because you surviving makes you feel good, right? You're doing it. But it comes a time when it's not, like you said, enough to move on. And that vision is necessary. So whether you get it on your own accord, or you reach out, or you read a book, right? The Sarong vision, you get help from Linked Up Center, Empowerment Center. Mm-hmm. And I think there's the power in asking for help. So I want to leave every listener with what you've all said and just wrap it up. We're not alone. We're here for one another. And what helps one of us can help another one of us, maybe not identically, but something in that book is going to make you go, ooh, yeah, like something in the story of this young singer, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I always say, like you said, leave it forward, you know, get your insurance for your family so that they can thrive and not have to worry about surviving so much. You know, they can be in the thrive and pivot pivot into that. But you have to have a future understanding. I want to thank both of you. And you just have like 1 minute left to share with our members whatever you want to share. But I want them to know that they can go on my website, kimberlyirwin.me, and get your connections. So if they don't hear it and they want to connect with you, or they're not able to write it, they can go there. But what would you like to leave as a reminder for, oh, we have a call in. I told them they can't call at the last minute. And look, we get a call at the last minute. Can we take that call? I don't know if we can. Because we have like 1 minute left. And I want to share that. Well, while he's looking, go ahead, Aisha. What would you like to share with a member? With our listener.
Okay,
Hello? We have a listener?
Yes. This is Quinn and Kim. You got great, great guests. The gentleman and the lady, they talk very good. And my name is Quinn. Thank you very much. A great show.
Thank you, Quinn. Okay, that's enough for our guest. The people who are calling in, we want to hear from our guest talkers. Now you got 30 seconds each. Okay, Aisha, I'm sorry. We had the call-in speak, so they overran you. Can you say what you were saying again? We have 30 seconds. Aisha, can you hear me? She can't hear us. I knew this would be an issue if they called in too late. So she's shaking her head. Can you hear me now? Okay. So You have like 15 seconds. What do you want to say to the listeners? Oh, my goodness.